Sister Breege McKenna is an Irish Franciscan sister with a really beautiful healing ministry that she has exercised for decades now. Her healing ministry flowed out of her own miraculous healing that she experienced when she was just in her 20s, when the Lord, in a very miraculous way, just freed her from a paralyzing form of arthritis that she had. She found after that experience that when she would pray with other people to be healed, that the Lord was really working and doing some amazing things. So she's had a healing ministry for decades now. She tells the story early on, as the Lord was kind of unfolding this ministry for her, of a time when she, this is in the mid-70s, she was flying through the U.S. on her way, I think, down to South America to give a retreat or a mission. And there was a priest in El Paso who had invited her to accompany him in his own ministry to the poor, to all of the people who lived in this shanty town that had been built around this giant burning garbage dump between El Paso and the city of Juarez in Mexico. And he would often go there to celebrate Mass for the people and simply to bring the Lord to them. So she accompanied him for one of those Masses, and she describes getting there and just being just hit by the squalor, the poverty, just the mess of all of that, just stuff that she had never seen. And when it came time to get ready for Mass, the priest, he normally would bring just a little table that he would set up as the altar. And just before Mass started, a woman who was coming to share and participate in the Mass, an older woman, Sister Breege, saw her hand the priest like a bundle of something. And she said, I don't know what it was. I didn't know if it was an offering or a gift or something like that. But it turns out that the woman had handed the priest a baby that she had wrapped up in a little blanket, whom she had found just discarded on this smoldering garbage dump. And the baby had, at that point, had most of his skin, she said, it had just all been burned off. And so this is just before the Mass starts. So the priest, just like, what do you do at that moment? He placed the baby just right underneath the little table that would be the altar, and they celebrated Mass. And Sister Breege recounts and remembers that it was one of the most beautiful Masses that she had ever been to, because she was struck by the faith of the people and their devotion, their love for the Lord, right in the midst of just all of this just terrible squalor and poverty. And she was moved to tears throughout the whole Mass, just watching the people and their faith in the Lord who are living in this kind of state of life. At the end of Mass, she realized that the baby who had been crying through most of the whole first part of the Mass was not crying anymore, and she wanted to go check on the baby, and she was surprised to find that the baby at some point during the Mass had crawled out of the blanket and had crawled out from underneath that little table that was the altar and was, she said, just happily playing over in the dirt somewhere. And she went over to the baby and was amazed to discover that in the course of the Mass, the celebration of the Mass, the Lord healed all of the burns off of that baby. And she said, had I not seen the baby before and seen the baby after, I would never have believed it. But this was a very powerful moment early on in her healing ministry when the Lord showed her, she said, that the healing power of what happens here at Mass. But Sister Breege picked up the baby and she went over to the older woman that had brought the baby there in the first place because she had stayed nearby for the Mass. And she said, it was only as I'm saying it that I realized how ridiculous the question was, but I asked the woman, what happened? And the woman said, Jesus came. Like that was, in her heart, it was very simple. We brought the baby to Jesus, and in the Mass, Jesus shows up like he always does, and he healed the baby. And that moments like that, when you see a faith like that in that older woman, that's the kind of thing I think that often leads us to say, like the apostles do in the opening of the gospel today, to the Lord, increase our faith. How often we see someone with this kind of faith that seems to open the door to miracles, and we say, Lord, that's what I want. I want that kind of faith. And this is a very real dimension of faith, but it's not the most important. The Lord starts there, and he affirms to the disciples, yes, if you had even the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would do it. But he doesn't leave it there, and this is really important. He moves on and moves deeper to teach them and us a much deeper and much more important faith. It's not the faith that is very kind of showy and oftentimes we see as kind of spectacular that moves us emotionally. The faith of miracles does that. Who wouldn't witness what Sister Breege witnessed and say, Lord, that's the faith I want. Give me that faith. But the Lord teaches us that a deeper and much more important, but also much more difficult faith is the faith he describes as the verses go on. And he says to them, here's the faith that I really want you to have, that each of you is called to have. It's the faith like you find in a servant who says, Lord, I'm just going to do what you ask me to do. It's faith expressed as obedience, to which I say, oh, Lord, I don't want that one. Like, give me the faith that's all about the miracles, because the miracles are great. The miracles cause people to stop and look and, like, what's going on? And the miracles feel good. But when Jesus says, the kind of faith that I really want you to have is the faith of a servant who just says, Lord, this is what you asked me to do, and I did it. That's hard. It's ordinary. It's so often hidden. It's difficult. And today, I feel like the Lord wants to encourage us around that and to know, first of all, this is the greatest faith that there can be. This humble, obedient faith. But there are two things I want to share with you to encourage you to not be afraid to ask the Lord to grow this kind of faith in you. So this humble, obedient faith, and it's the harder thing that doesn't usually come with any emotional warm fuzzies. But two reasons why the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid to ask for this faith. The first is this. Every one of you, you want to be close to Jesus. You want that. Like, I've never met a single person who hasn't said, I would like to be close to the Lord. I would like to feel like more in union with him. And the deepest way that you and I can be in union with Jesus is through this kind of obedient faith that says, Lord, you've asked me to do something, and I'm going to do it. Not because I understand it necessarily, not because it feels good, not because I understand your plan and where it fits in, but I'm going to do it because you've asked me to do it. Now, I just told you that when you do that, you are in a place of deepest union with Jesus. And here's why I can tell you that confidently. It's because of this. You know that we are saved by what he did for us on the cross, right? That is our salvation. The loving sacrificial offering that Jesus makes of himself for us. But he is there on the cross, certainly not because it feels good, right? There was nothing that felt good about that at all. And he's not even there because at the level of his human will, he wants to be there. Remember what he prayed the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass me by. But still, not my will, but your will be done. And so he is here in loving obedience of the Father's plan. That's why he's there. And in your heart, if you want to be close to the Lord, it's moments like that when we say, Lord, I don't understand exactly why you're asking this of me. Or I know you say that this is the right way to live, but I don't totally understand it, but I'm willing to do it. In those moments, when you imitate, and not just imitate, but when you participate in his loving obedience to the Father, you are in the place of deepest union with him. And the Lord wants you to know that. I want you to know that because it doesn't feel that way, right? These are the moments when there's no warm, fuzzy feeling. We're so trained by the world to let our emotions be the primary indicator of like how am I doing? And so we look for warm, fuzzy feelings and emotions and like, oh, they're there. I must be close to God. And he's like, no, it doesn't work that way. So this is the first reason the Lord says, don't be afraid to pursue this deepest faith. It's the obedient faith of a servant. Because when you do that, I promise you, that is when you are closest to my heart. Here's another reason why he says to not be afraid to pursue this and pray for it. That when we start here in this place in our spiritual life, it spills over into all of the other areas of our life. Like every other part of our life gets to benefit and be blessed by this kind of faith. And so this is most especially true for all of you who are married. Every one of you that's been married for at least a few years, you know that so much of your married life, the way that you live out your love for your spouse and your family, it comes not by way of the feelings. Like how often are you loving your spouse and your kids? Not because the feelings are there, but because you know the right thing to do and loving them, you do it. So much of your married life is built on and connected to that same kind of loving obedience. And we need that in our families. We need to know that our families flourish, not just when the good fuzzy feelings are there, but when we're obedient out of love to our wife, to our husband, to our children and our care for them. But it spills over into other areas of our life as well. Like, how many of you, tomorrow morning, it's Monday morning, it's probably gonna still be raining, overcast. How many of you for tomorrow morning, like, I cannot wait to get to work because 100% of the time I love everything I do. Like, nobody likes that, right? Like, when I was proclaiming the gospel just a moment ago, drips from the ceiling started hitting the gospel book in my head. As I'm proclaiming the gospel, I'm like, oh, great. Here's another repair that we have to do. Like, I really don't like that part of being a pastor, but it's there. So even in our work life, blessings flow when we let the Lord shape our heart after that of the servant who's just willing to say, Lord, I'm ready to do what's asked of me from you, in my family, and even in the realm of my work, Lord, to support my family and all of that. I'm ready to do what my supervisor, what my boss asks of me, not because it feels good, but because it's just another way that I express in the big picture my faith in you. So these are two reasons the Lord says, do not be afraid to seek this kind of obedient faith. Now, praying through this week, here's where it hits me, like where I really felt the Lord speaking very clearly to me, and it's very uncomfortable, but the Lord, you know, elsewhere in the Gospels, he says to us, and he says to me, Eric, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, but do not do what I ask you to do? Remember that in the Gospel, around the scene of the judgment, those who will say, like, Lord, come on, like, we were with you, you hung out in our towns, we heard you teaching, and he says, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I ask you to do? And those words hit me this week because, you know, there's plenty of my own ways in my relationship with him that I fall short of the obedience that he asks of me, where I think I know better than he does, where I say, yes, I hear that, but I know, like, there's another door over here, Lord. Like, I know you're not really serious about that. And he says, why am I not serious about that? Why, when I ask you to live this way, to do that thing, to love in this manner, why do you not do it? And like the only excuse I have is because I'm not as obedient in my love for you as I should be. And I just can't get around that. You know, a parallel with that is like most of us love the fact that God's mercy can forgive us after we've sinned. How many of us on the front end of our sin like the fact that mercy, even before we ever sin, wants to keep us from sinning? Like, how often do we want to have it both ways? Well, I can still say yes to the sin, and I'll just go to confession afterwards. I have faith in his mercy. And the Lord says, do you have faith in that mercy working before you even choose the sin? Like, do you trust me enough to not even choose the sin? Lord, I don't know. I don't know about that. So today, let's pray and ask the Lord to give us this gift of faith. It's not the sparkly, glittery faith that works miracles. That faith is for real. But it's the faith that goes underneath of that makes everything else possible. That humble, hidden, obedient faith that says, Lord, you've asked something of me, and I love you enough, because that's what it's all about. This is not just blind obedience. It's, I love you enough that I will do what you ask of me. Let's pray and ask the Lord Jesus from the cross, where he expresses that love to the Father, that he would give us a share in that loving obedience to all that the Father asks of us.